And so my presentation today is going to examine the development of the Western Cape's draft policy framework for community participation in health. And so although the Western Cape of South Africa has taken evolving steps to institutionalize participation through community health committees, these committees have struggled to promote community engagement without formal recognition under law. And so to understand the relationship between policy frameworks and community participation in health, our study analyzes the processes of formalizing structures for community participation in the development of this draft policy. And so through national and provincial legislative analysis and in-depth interviews with key stakeholders, our research team, both at UNC and at the University of Cape Town, analyzed key factors facilitating and inhibiting the implementation of the draft policy, drawing out the implications for participation policy and health system reform, and concluding that attempts to promote community participation must adequately address specific underlying systemic factors that are crucial to achieving effective participation. And so, coming at this as a human rights scholar, and grateful for Dr. Kinney's review of the international legal standards of the right to health, we know that community participation is seen as crucial to realizing a rights-based approach to health. Yet many health systems have not enacted policies to enable the institutions that are necessary for effective participation. And so with participation both a right in itself and instrumental to the realization of many other rights, this case study really seeks to investigate the challenges of developing health policy for community participation in Cape Town, the red dot at the bottom of the map of South Africa. And so while studies of community participation structures in the health system have been undertaken in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, there's far less understanding of how such policies have developed outside the West, and especially in sub-Saharan Africa. And so focusing on South Africa, it's widely recognized that there have been enormous strides since the end of the apartheid era, developing and integrating a health system that would promote community participation at all levels. The participation experience within a health system undergoing an enormous post-apartheid transformation presents an insightful case study, we felt, on policy reforms to institutionalize participation, addressing the complex realities of developing participation policy and highlighting the limitations in the implementation of rights-based health policy reforms. And so given the importance of participation in realizing a rights-based approach to health, this analysis seeks to inform researchers on the challenges to institutionalizing participation in health systems and provides practitioners with a research base to facilitate future policy reforms. And so to understand the relationship between policy frameworks and community participation, this study seeks to document and to analyze the structures of community participation in the specific development of the draft policy in Cape Town. And so focusing on those thematic factors that facilitate or inhibit health policy reform, my presentation today is going to seek to highlight best practices for rights-based health policy reform for community participation, developing, and as an initial study, thematic variables for future health services research. And so examining the theory underlying this debate, I'll begin by outlining the prospective benefits of community participation in health. In addressing the policy background from which these reforms were developed in the last year, I'll then review the evolving policy efforts in South Africa and the Western Cape to institutionalize participation in health. And so with the draft policy as a frame of analysis, I'll explain the documentary policy analysis and semi-structured interviews that we conducted on the development of this provincial health policy. And so looking beyond the specific and unique circumstances of the experience in the Western Cape, my concluding discussion will seek to chart the paths through which community participation is structured, functions, and relates to other sectors of society. And by focusing on these thematic factors likely to facilitate or inhibit health reform, this study derives these best practices that I'll discuss for developing policy to advance meaningful community participation in realizing a rights-based approach to health. And so community participation in the health system at a theoretical level has come to be seen, as I mentioned, as a key component of rights-based health policy. Creating a public sphere for health and allowing for sustainable health systems that more effectively address local needs. With the 1978 Declaration of Alma-Ata memorializing an international rights-based consensus on participation, that people have the right and duty to participate individually and collectively in the planning and implementation of their health care. From this consensus, advocates have sought to translate this international health and human rights consensus into domestic policy. And so if mechanisms for participation are structured through the development of appropriate institutions, it's thought that community participation has the potential to increase awareness of specific health needs in the community, disseminate knowledge and health education, increase accountability for healthcare providers and policymakers, and through participatory priority setting, the health system is endowed with democratic legitimacy, becoming more tailored to the specific needs of the community, and thus more likely to improve health for all, in accordance with the Declaration of Alma-Ata. And so operating at the individual level, we know that participation leads to an increased sense of personal responsibility, self-determination, decreasing isolation by fostering relationships between healthcare providers and the communities they serve. With increased public participation, individuals gain greater autonomy to assess their own health needs, learn about the health issues specific to their environment, and improve lifestyle choices that we know are necessary for the public's health. When communication between healthcare providers and patients is based on mutual respect and trust, it's found to change the dynamic from a submissive patient receiving care to an informed citizen who is actively engaged within the system, also improving health outcomes. And yet, despite this theoretical consensus that we have on the health benefits of community participation, we know that there are challenges in addressing the complex realities of participation as a process. And as such, there remains little understanding of the policies that are necessary to promote community participation. And so examining this at a policy level in South Africa, we know that the government has developed an evolving set of executive and legislative measures to realize the benefits of community participation in the health system, establishing community health committees to promote involvement at a community level. And so in the aftermath of the apartheid regime, the new democratic government under the African National Congress strove to develop structures for participation in the health system under the 1994 Reconstruction and Development Program, emphasizing local control in accordance with the international consensus codified in the Declaration of Alma-Ata, the RDP as it's known, the Reconstruction and Development Program, explicitly recognized an emphasis on community participation and empowerment, with the understanding that the users of clinics should be an integral part of health services and not merely be seen as the passive recipients of services. In order for this to happen, the users need to be organized into a structure which will relate to the health system, and it is suggested that this structure be the Community Health Committee. Yet the promise of community involvement, local governance, went unfulfilled in the early years of the new South Africa, as government focused on streamlining management systems through health sector privatization. Returning to this idea and seeking to clarify government responsibilities for open communication between health service providers and citizens, the 2000 Patient Rights Charter seeks to create a common standard of rights by which every citizen has the right to participate in the development of health policies, and everyone has the right to participate in decision-making on matters affecting oneself. These rights and responsibilities for participation would shape the implementation of community participation through the district health system that would arise in the 21st century. And so facilitating participation at a district rather than national level, with districts reporting upward to the provincial level and then up from there to the national level, the development and institutionalization of a district health system would increase communication between providers and citizens and give communities greater opportunities to contribute to policy decisions at a local level. And so in structuring the district health system, the 2003 National Health Act outlines in broad terms the governance structures for community participation, mentioning that every health facility should be linked with a community health committee, a community health committee that would consist of community-elected representatives. Yet despite this conceptualization of the roles and powers of community health committees, the National Health Act delegated to provincial governments to provide legislation for each health district. Because the National Health Act didn't provide a specific mandate for the establishment of health committees, this national framework has not been implemented under provincial legislation in most of South Africa's 9 provinces, with many committees ineffective, poorly functioning, as community representatives reported that their opinions were neither valued nor considered within the health system. Participation simply was not happening. And so within the Western Cape, the focus of our study here in Cape Town, the Cape Metro Health Forum was established informally under the 1995 Provincial Health Plan as an interim forum for community participation pending formal legislation. While informal, the CMHF, the Cape Metro Health Forum, forms the current structure for community participation in the Western Cape, with participation flowing up from community health committees to sub-district health fora, with the Cape Metro Health Forum bringing everyone together. And so closest to the communities themselves, these health committees' primary role is to serve as a liaison between the community and the clinic, with committee members intended to provide governance to the clinic and work directly with the communities they serve. Translating these community interactions into health policy, HC representatives, health committee representatives, meet together as the Cape Metro Health Forum across the entire district, which engages with civil society and government officials in district reform efforts. And so to recognize community participation as a sustained part of the district health system, members of the Cape Metro Health Forum came together calling for legislative adoption of the draft policy as a means to institutionalize community representation, to give them legislative authority to do what they were already doing. And so with HCs, with these health committees, existing only on an ad hoc basis, the 2008 draft policy was developed in the Western Cape to sustain the benefits of community participation under the objectives listed here, which are largely the objectives that we mentioned earlier as benefits of community participation, and thereby formalize the roles and responsibilities of the Cape Metro Health Forum and community health committees. In doing so, the draft policy defines and describes how each clinic develop a community health committee, with this committee facilitating conflict resolution and community representation, and acting as a liaison between the clinic, the community, and the government, providing an authoritative framework for the establishment, appointment, functioning of these structures. The draft policy proposes a network of communication from the local clinic committee to the health system through the Cape Metro Health Forum. And yet, despite these imperatives, despite a draft policy being created for health committee participation, this research identifies 5 structural obstacles to codifying community participation in the Western Cape. First, there's organizational uncertainty as to what the role of community representatives should be, as the Cape Metro Health Forum lacks clearly defined legal authorities that are necessary to structure engagement between the health system and the community. The Cape Metro Health Forum serves an essential, albeit informal, role in bringing together health officials and community members to collaborate and coordinate in the district. But the health forum's informal structures cannot effectively structure health system participation without clearly defined institutional arrangements and responsibilities under law. That is, the CMHF has not been able to collaborate adequately in the health system because it has no legislative standing and it has no defined mandate to coordinate with other organs of government. And so to alleviate this organizational uncertainty, the draft policy was sought as a means to formalize community participation pursuant to provincial legislation. With no other institution responsible for community participation, stakeholders emphasized the continuing need for health committees, arguing that, quote, it raises a concern of how seriously we take our own policies as a government and how seriously we are about the implementation of our policies and guidelines, continuing that if you want true participation, I'm not sure the District Health Council on its own and the committees in their current capacity is sufficiently going to do that. The structure creates a kind of opportunity of engagement, but it's really dependent on the way we actually do it and the way we actually engage with it. We need to understand how to legislatively authorize our community representatives to act within the health system. Second, we know that there's complexity in identifying, selecting, or electing those who truly represent the communities. Without established processes for determining community representation, it's difficult to determine who representatives are, if they're participating in the community's best interests, whether there's any legitimacy to community health committees at all. As this problem was identified by a key stakeholder, we were told it's a highly politicized process. In my own opinion, this process of selecting representatives, in my own opinion, it's not necessarily the right people who come forward to represent their communities. The people who get elected, in my personal estimation, are the wrong people who get elected for the wrong reasons, for the wrong things. Continuing, and it's not their own doing or their own making, but it's the motivation for stepping forward and being a community participator. What inherent skills and things does that person bring to the party? It's always a party there. So several stakeholders noted the lack of clearly defined processes, even under the draft policy, for representation, and how this creates an environment in which community representatives don't have a clear representation, don't have a clear relationship to the communities they serve and for whom they claim to speak. In such situations in which members are appointed rather than elected, engagement with the community health committees may serve only for personal benefit, with representation reinforcing existing bases of social capital and participation reflecting nothing more than personal opinions. Which reminds me, we're holding elections tonight for the health law SPIG. Come on out to our business meeting at 6 o'clock, 6:30. You can get elected to represent the public health law community. Third, there's little government support for building the capacity of community representatives. As the government seeks to engage with these community representatives, there isn't an institutionalized structure to build health committee capacity for meaningful participation. That's the most skeptical look I could find. And so reflecting the relationship between government and health committees, a government official, not the president, noted, we've restructured the structure, but now we're kind of working out the mechanics of the structure and how the district health system engages and how it works in practice. And part of that has to deal with the community and having a voice closer to management and informing processes. There hasn't been a lot of energy into really grappling with that. And so with the Department of Health not traditionally responsible for building the capacity of community representatives, many in the department, many physicians in the Department of Health, continued to question whether the department had the obligation or even the capacity, the ability, to engage in capacity building to support the community representatives. Given these entrenched attitudes, it's clear that legislation is only the first step in building community participation, with institutional support programs necessary to build the capacity of community representatives to participate in the health system. Fourth, compounding this failure to build capacity for participation, there's also a lack of administrative training or support for health committee members, crucial in a developing country context like the Western Cape. And so in carrying out the required institutional functions, committee members, unlike the departments with which they were collaborating, lack administrative training, as defined by the communities themselves, but including at a minimum basic computer skills, administrative committee procedures, information on prevailing health issues and how to address them, lacking knowledge on both how to run a committee meeting and how to deal medically with many of the health issues that were being suffered in the community. And so with this training only just beginning, one of the trainers reflected on how the training impacted the role of the community representatives in the health system. He said, the quote, the interesting thing for me was that when we were doing this training, that people's eyes opened yeah, that makes sense. And it was heartening to see that people did understand what's happening to them, why they were getting sick. Because a lot of the training was around what makes you sick, what makes you better. People did want to know. People are smarter than people expect. They can work some things out because they're survivors. That in the most marginalized communities, it wasn't simply building up the capacity for community representation, but building up the capacity to collaborate in these sophisticated and complex institutional arrangements that make up the health system of every local bureaucracy. And then finally, there's an unclear commitment to implementing policy for community participation. With leadership lacking to institutionalize community participation in government decision making. And so without a public commitment to effective participation, the original stakeholders on both the government side and on the community side feel stuck in the old system, operating as if no change is taking place. And so to avoid neglect of community voices in the health system, there's a need for effective and engaged leadership. Leadership and leaders who have a clear understanding of the kind of community participation that's required in the health system and how that participation can be realized in the health policymaking process. With sympathetic government officials fretting the prospective loss of the Cape Metro Health Forum under future reforms, with the Cape Metro Health Forum not authorized under law and thus unsustainable. One explained that this is going to be a challenge because we've legitimized these community participation structures, because we interact with them, because we give them funding. But they are actually not legally legitimate in terms of the structure. It's going to call all of this into question. And they're going to be some serious, I can already see the dynamics that are going to fly around the issue. So there's an idea that without a sustainable structure under law, that even the people on the health sector side aren't sure if the people they're going to be communicating with today are the people they're going to be communicating with in the future. And without sustainability, there isn't an emphasis on bringing together people to address the long-term challenges in the health system. And so reviewing these five facilitating and inhibiting factors, we see the community health committees have evolved through the Cape Metro Health Forum in the Western Cape to serve a quasi-official role for community participation. And yet their future is unclear without formal institutionalization in the health system. Policy under law holds a crucial role in overcoming these obstacles, facilitating or inhibiting the development of representative institutions conducive to a rights-based approach to community participation, as seen in the development of the draft policy, the goals, the expectations, the methods of community participation need to be clearly defined, formally established in order to ensure a relationship between the health system and community representatives. And so without community participation, it's vital to realizing South Africa's commitment to human rights. Additional research is going to be necessary to establish participatory institutions, to understand how they operate within legal structures, and to develop new means of representing communities under law in ways that are most conducive to the public's health. And so while the Western Cape is taking evolving steps to institutionalize these participatory structures, our research finds that there need to be clearly defined roles and functions for community representatives, codified in legislation at the provincial level, that specifically outlines how communities can engage with the government through effective and accountable channels for participation in the healthcare system. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.